This season of the Lake Effect Podcast is made possible by the Randolph J. and Estelle M. Dorn Foundation.
Hey, thanks for checking out this episode of the Lake Effect Podcast. My name is James Proffitt, and today I am at the Shores and Islands Visitor Center in Port Clinton, Ohio, talking to Ben Simon. Hey, Ben. Thanks for meeting with me today.
Thank you. How you doing?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. Beautiful day here. What's your title with Shores and Islands, and what is Shores and Islands?
James, I am the marketing director at Shores and Islands, and Shores and Islands, Ohio is the destination marketing organization for Erie and Ottawa counties.
A destination marketing organization. Is that like what they used to call a tourism bureau?
Yes.
Okay. What's your background? Did you grow up in this area, or where are you from?
Yeah, I grew up in Berlin Heights.
Okay.
Went to Edison High School. You know, once I left for college, went to college in Michigan, I moved to New Jersey, worked in the Philadelphia market for 25 years.
Big city.
Yeah. And, you know, I moved back to this area about 4 years ago. My mom needed some help, you know, for health, and I have some family back this way. So, been working on that for a few years, and kind of COVID helped that out, that situation, so moved back here.
Right.
And, you know, I was really blown away by all the infrastructure that was built in this area and things that were happening, so I kind of want to get involved. You know, this job happened to be available when I moved back, so it kind of worked out.
All right. And the goal of Shores and Islands is to what?
Our goal is to promote the region as a year-round destination.
Okay.
And to attract as many visitors as we can to this region to experience everything that we have to offer. You know, our ultimate goal is to drive economic impact.
Right.
To produce a lot of money for the business owners, to, you know, enhance the area so we can attract more visitors. It's, you come for a visit, you know, it's a circle. We get
right.
We get more people in and more people spending money. That gives us the money to build the infrastructure to attract more people.
So you're kind of like cheerleaders for the area.
Yes, very much.
How many people work here full and part-time? How are you funded?
We have two offices. We have one in Sandusky,
down
on Water Street, services Erie County. And we also have one here in Port Clinton that services Ottawa County.
So it's not a single county, it's two counties combined.
We have two counties that we're responsible for. It's a huge workload. You know, we have a great team. Total of 18 people altogether that work in both offices.
Okay. That's a lot of staff.
It is a lot of staff.
I've been to a lot of small visitor centers, and it's usually like maybe one or two people.
Yeah.
Not in a major area, but
sure.
In a rural area, just one or two people and some brochures.
Yeah. When I started here, I thought it was a lot of staff too, but then when we got into, you know, how much work we actually do and how much work comes out of these two offices,
right.
The staff is needed.
Okay.
You know, we have several different departments.
And I've got to ask you, I've been in this area about 20 years. Do you really have to convince people to come here?
I believe so. Yes.
Really?
You have to make people aware of what's here.
Okay.
You don't have to convince them to come here, but education on what's going on in the region, what's new. You know, there's new businesses popping up every single day. So there's water parks here in the winter, so we're really trying to get that awareness out in front of people.
Right. And you said you've been in the tourism business for years. How's it changed? I know when I grew up, we went to the a sports show in Cincinnati, and there was no internet, there was no social media. It was a giant bag filled with paper brochures.
Right.
Is that the old school way, or is that still around, or what can you tell me?
There's some of that still around.
Okay.
You know, there's definitely trade shows that we go to. There's educational conferences that we attend. There's a lot of paper being handed out. You know, for my purposes in terms of advertising and marketing the area, it's a lot of digital. You know, a lot of online advertising. And that's changed that way because it's measurable and it's trackable.
Right, as opposed to handing out something that you don't know what the person did with it. Or
if we put an ad in a publication, all we can kind of look at that is the circulation of that publication.
Right.
You know, if we're putting a digital ad on our website, we can measure how many people click that website, go to the website, and from there, where do they go? So that those analytics at the end of the day are very important to us.
And how many inquiries in a year might you receive via either phone calls, people walking through the door at the visitor centers, or social media inquiries?
We get a ton of calls to I don't know the number
okay.
of inquiries that we get, but between the phone calls that we get, asking people, it's more people asking, you know, we're coming to this area. Are there itineraries that we can put together?
All right.
Can we stop in the visitor center and get a travel guide? Can you help us plan a day? Things like that.
Ben, is it always individuals or are there groups or organizations that want to know the same information?
Yeah, there's bigger groups. You know, we have, I said earlier, several different departments within our organization. We have a marketing component. We have the destination enhancement that helps. We provide grants, you know, that businesses can request funds for to help, you know, kind of redo their kitchen in a restaurant or get a new sign out front. So I think last year alone we gave away $150,000 in grants.
No kidding.
For local businesses to help kind of revamp their business.
All right.
So that helps us attract more visitors that way as well.
Years back, I believe the county commissioners, probably from information that you guys provided, estimated that on certain weekends in the summertime, the population of Ottawa County, which is normally 45,000 approximately, mm-hmm. swells to well over 200,000. Mm-hmm. Is that the case?
Absolutely. Yeah, during the summer months, you know, we're constantly trying to market this region as a year-round destination. But we do know that there are seasons involved here, and the summer is the most popular season that we do have.
Correct.
So it's a very important piece to it, for sure.
What are the major standard attractions that people know this area for?
I think the number one attraction is Lake Erie.
Okay.
Right? So people are coming here to fish, boat, sailing, swimming, kayaking. I think the lake is our number one attraction to this region. So we just, you know, we need to capitalize on that. And the health of the lake is very important to us. So, you know, Lake Erie, Cedar Point, Kalahari, the sports zone over at Cedar Point, you know, that the Cedar Point Sports Center brings a million people through that every year.
So no kidding.
That's
not the amusement park. That's a separate entity.
Yeah, Cedar Point Sports Center is, we actually help fund that.
Okay.
2% of our lodging tax goes to that bond to finish that project.
All right, and that's what kind of sports?
It's all youth. It's volleyball, basketball, mainly volleyball, basketball. If they don't have tournaments in there that, you know, Justin, the GM over there, that's his job is to fill that center full of sporting events. If there's something that doesn't come through there that they have an open weekend for, they kind of help turn to us to, hey, can you help fill this? We may put a fishing show in there or some sort of expo in there, yeah.
Okay. What about Lakeside? I hear a lot of people talking about Lakeside. It's kind of an odd little community. I've been there many times. It's very crowded in the summertime, but it's not the bar scene or the hubbub that you might see in some other places. What can you tell me about Lakeside?
Lakeside's a very popular destination for families to come up and enjoy the lake in the summer. I know it's becoming increasingly popular throughout the years, especially in the last few years that I've been here, just seeing the amount of people that go there. Within Lakeside, there's a little community and there's things that there, you don't have to leave Lakeside
at all. Very quaint.
It's very quaint. There's a movie theater there, there's activities for kids, there's restaurants, stores, so it's just a nice place to go, set up shop for the week. You don't have to leave anywhere.
Ben, there are some attractions in the area that are not that old. When I say not that old, maybe 5, 10, 15 years at the most. One that I can think of is Biggest Week in American Birding. That takes place not just in Erie and Ottawa County, but in some surrounding counties. How big of a draw is that, and where do people come from to attend that?
Great question. Biggest Week in American Birding, you know, we, in conjunction with McGee Marsh and Kim Kaufman over at the Black Swamp Observatory, you know, we put this together every year, and it's amazing to me how many people come here for that week in May, right? There's over 90,000 people that come here from all over the world to this area just to see the birds migrate. It's a very unique area position, you know, from the islands. The birds are coming down from the north. They stop at the islands. They stop here just off the coast before continuing to head south. It's a great migratory pattern for warblers especially. So if you're a birder and you want to see some interesting birds and different kinds, that's the place to be.
Right. And people come from all over the world.
All over the world. Last year, I talked to someone from Spain, someone from France. We get a lot of people from Canada coming down. California, Florida, they're all over. You know, it's very interesting to me how many people come.
Speaking of interesting, there's one event that happens in late February every year, I believe the last Saturday in February, and it quickly surpassed the attendance for the Walleye Drop, which is the New Year's Eve event that Port Clinton has been known for years. What can you tell me about the Burning Snowman?
It's fantastic. You know, I love it every year. It's becoming extremely popular. Port Clinton has done a fantastic job promoting this. You know, we help out a little bit just to get it out to the masses a little more, but we're heavily involved with our social media. The attraction itself is unique, you know, for this area.
Right.
But it's a burning snowman. It's, why not in the middle of winter? It's
now, fantastic. When you say a burning snowman, made of snow?
No, it's made of wood and things, yeah, but it's just the idea of it. It's in the middle of winter.
It sounds like a big party.
It's cold. It's a huge party.
Okay.
It's a good time.
What about ice fishing? I know that people fish on East Harbor, and some people drive for 2-3 hours to get here to fish on East Harbor. But every once in a while, the lake itself freezes, and for a couple weeks or up to a month, as we had 12, 13 years ago, there could be thousands of people on the ice out pretty far out on Lake Erie.
Sure. Yeah, this year was a great year for ice fishing over the last 2 weeks that we had. We have 9 webcams up on our website, and I always look at our Catapa webcam to see how many ice fishermen are out there. And there's tents sprinkled throughout, you know, last 2 weeks. Obviously, it's becoming a little bit warmer now, so we've got to be careful. But I did catch the Coast Guard rescue off the ice last year with the webcam. It was pretty interesting.
That's pretty exciting stuff.
Yep. You know, there's always, seems like every year someone gets caught on the ice and the ice breaks away and they have to be rescued. And there's one a year, every year, I think. And we were fortunate enough to see that last year. No one got hurt, so it was great. You know, ice fishing is very popular, especially around the islands.
Right.
You know, it's very shallow out there around Put-in Bay and Kelly's.
And how big is fishing as a component of your work at the Shores and Islands?
It's a huge component. I mean, 3 or 4 years ago before I started, we kind of moved away from really focusing and advertising this a lot. And I'd like to really, you know, we've been really working to bring this back. Especially around the islands, you know, there's people that come in from Wisconsin and all over the country to fish. And the walleye hatchery here in Lake Erie, as you know, is world class. So the amount of fish that are caught, I don't know the exact number, but it's astounding, the millions of fish that are in Lake Erie right now. And the hatches that have been happening over the last few years have really put us on a map.
Ben, there are maybe up to a half dozen cities and towns in the U.S. that claim to be the walleye capital of the world. Where is the walleye capital of the world?
Port Clinton.
Really?
Would be the walleye capital of the world.
Officially?
Yeah, officially.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, it's not official, but it's official, right? We've been trying to get the walleye passed down in Columbus as the state fish, you know, so that's...
Any luck with that?
Not yet, but we're continuing the work.
What are some smaller, maybe niche attractions in the area that people may not know about, that may be kind of specialized, or that people just aren't aware of?
You know, we have a lot of breweries in the area.
Okay.
We have a lot of wineries in the area. So we have a Cheers Trail that's very, very popular in the spring and in the fall, especially. Seems like a good time for people to come out and experience those trails. We have water parks. We have 3 water parks in the region, so they're...
And those are year-round?
They're strictly... Yeah, they're year-round.
Okay.
But we actually promote them more for the wintertime.
Right.
This last December, between the 3 water parks that we have, we had 85,000 people come through just in that month.
Really?
And in January, we had 205,000 people come through this area and stay at one of our 3 water parks in Erie County. So
holy smokes.
It's just a great way to experience the region in the winter. And I will point out, 60% of those visitors came from 50 or 100 miles away.
Wow.
Which is impressive, because that tells us that we're doing our job in terms of reaching the masses outside of this region.
Right. How does weather affect tourism in the area? I've spoken to some people before in different businesses, for instance, bars and restaurants, taxi cabs, and the weather can be really good or bad for people coming to visit the area.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's always, you got to count out rain, you know, especially in northeast Ohio, northwestern Ohio, where we are in this region. We get May through, I guess, August, really nice weather. You know, it's hot, sunny. People are taking advantage of that weather. You know, it drops off a little bit in the fall. Winter seems to last a long time here. So
it does, doesn't it?
It really does. And, you know, we constantly update our our website for weekly events that are going on in the week for the region, as well as monthly, and we're constantly promoting those things. So if it does rain outside, there are things to do in the region. We point that out. If it's beautiful outside, you know, our job is to promote all of that stuff. There's over 13 million people that come through this region every summer. 4 million of those go to Cedar Point. There's 1 million people that go into the Cedar Point Sports Center. What are the other 9 million people doing, right? So that's
something.
They're doing something. So that's just a testament of how many things there are to do in our region.
I know that Shores and Islands has social media channels, and you guys feed information and photos and stories and things out for people on the internet. Do you still do the old school travel shows where you got a booth inside of a convention center in a city and people are coming up and down the aisle and picking up brochures?
Yes, we do a few of those a year. They're combined with more of a kind of an educational piece. So I'm going to a show next week in Cleveland. It's called the Destinations International Marketing Communications Summit.
Wow, so that's a mouthful.
Yeah, it's a 3-day summit, and it's all education regarding like how AI is influencing us, influencing tourism. What can we do to use AI better? You know, what is it that these DMOs in the area are having better marketing success than others? And it's just a real learning experience. And we kind of, a lot of one-on-one that we get there, but we're always handing out pamphlets and travel guides and things to the area. We were at the National Fishing Expo in Columbus 2 weeks ago. And we took, you know, all area charter information down with us. We have numerous charter partners of ours, and we gave away a couple charters in a drawing. So it's that's where the fishing aspect comes in big to us. So we're always attending those. Maybe an RV show we did up in Grand Rapids a few weeks ago as well. So we're constantly making them aware of people aware of what's going on in this region.
What's the most asked question or topic that people either call you, email you, or walk through the door and ask your staff?
How do we get to the islands?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How do you get to the islands?
Well, from our office in Sandusky, the Jet Express is right out our front door. So it's very easy. And then we give them directions on, you know, there's the Kelly's Island Ferry that takes you to Kelly's. There's the Jet Express and the Miller Ferry up here in Port Clinton that kind of run off Catawba.
Right.
So it's a very easy trip. And then from there, they ask, once I'm on the island, what can I do? Or can I get from the island to Cedar Point? Or, you know, we kind of give them a gist of where the ferries go.
Now, the Lake Erie Islands are known for being extremely flush with adult beverages. Is there anything else to do on the island besides eating and drinking at bars and restaurants?
Yeah, I mean, Put in Bay is in Ottawa County, and Kelly's Island is in Erie County. They're two different islands. There's a lot of bars and restaurants on Put in Bay. There's some bars and restaurants on Kelly's. Kelly seems like a little more family atmosphere. If you're going there for a week with the family to stay, it's more a relaxing atmosphere. It's not as crowded as Put in Bay. Put in Bay, you have a lot of young 30-year-olds going over there with families. You know, I enjoy Put in Bay quite a bit. You know, we used to take our boat over there to Put in Bay all the time, and it's a huge transient boat island as well. People are coming in from all over the place to go to the island. So there's hiking over there. There's all kinds of nature going on over there as well. Ohio State has their research labs over on off of Put in Bay.
I've heard that.
So it's a very interesting thing to experience that. And there's a new aquatic visitor center that opened up last year on Put in Bay.
I heard that too.
So they're building up a lot of attractions, making it very friendly for visitors to experience. And it's educational for the kids, you know, so it's beyond that party scene.
Right. Yeah. Okay, cool. In the past 10, 15 years, Airbnb, private rentals, and VRBO, private rentals, have really taken off all over the world. But has that affected tourism here in this area?
It hasn't affected tourism, but it's affected where people stay, you know, because
you're saying there's more options.
There are more options. Obviously, people have all these Airbnbs all over the place. You know, there's legislation being worked on right now that Airbnbs actually have to produce some bed tax as well, because now they don't. And you know, it's really, is it fair for all the hotels to have to do that and not the Airbnbs? So that's a question we're kind of going through right now.
Right.
Because we want to help out the partners that we have that have hotels
right.
that actually pay their bed tax and do their do the things the right way. So it hasn't hurt tourism. There's, if anything, there's more places for people to stay when they come to the region.
Okay,
so
that makes sense.
That way, yeah.
What's the funniest thing that anyone has ever asked you? Just a funny question, tourism related, about this area.
There's been a few. One of them is Cedar Point an island? I didn't know Ohio had islands.
Yes, I've heard that before.
And that's coming from as close as Columbus.
Really?
Right. So a lot of that is to us continuing to educate people within the state that, yes, Ohio, we do have islands off the coast of Ohio. There's quite a few of them, actually. There's a few that are, you know, habited, but nothing. I think it's just the lack of education. You know,
right.
When people come to this area, they think Cedar Point's an island. They ask if Cedar Point is open in the winter. Are the islands open in the winter?
What's the worst thing that has or can happen for tourism in this area?
Well, that's a really good question. Not having the buy-in from local community, I think. A lot of local businesses here rely on tourism. And those months from the summer when I hear people complaining about how much traffic is on 250 going to Cedar Point, to me that should be a welcoming thing for local businesses. You know, people, the traffic coming off here, Route 53 to get to the Miller Ferry, it's backed up here past our welcome center all the way to Route 2. That's a good thing for people because there's more people coming into the market, spending money in your business. You know, and then that's our job is to promote those businesses. We can let people know where to go. So the worst thing for tourism is for those people to stop coming and for businesses to stop really promoting themselves.
Ben, the visitor center in Port Clinton is considerably larger than the one in downtown Sandusky. I feel like I've been here before and you guys have had some very large events with some VIPs here. What kind of meetings or what kind of events do you actually hold here at the visitor center?
We have programming throughout the year. Our two big events that we hold here are Fish Ohio.
Okay,
which is a main event we have in the spring. The governor comes here and we take the governor and everyone in this region out charter fishing, walleye fishing for the day. There's probably a couple hundred people that show up. And we have programming education pieces here. Like we have one of our employees is nicknamed Ned. So we have Ned Talks that happen here on a monthly basis. And Ned is our local nature preservist. So he gives us education on things like the lakeside daisy, which is only found over on the islands, or you know, any kind of animal, or what it's like for animals to be hibernating. You know, there's talks on that every month, so we give something new every month. So there's always, we put on art shows, or...
I've seen some art outside. Yeah, is that from local folks?
It's all, everything within the office is local.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a really nice piece to spread the awareness.
And can someone come in and buy a piece of art?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
No kidding. Hey Ben, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to talk to me about the shores and islands. It's very interesting. I had no idea so many people came through Erie and Ottawa County each year. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it, and hopefully one day I will see you somewhere around the lake.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you.
Thanks for joining me for this edition of the Lake Effect Podcast. I'm your host and producer, James Proffitt. Our executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. To hear more, go to wgte.org/lakeeffect, and I hope to see you somewhere around the lake.
WGTE, voices around us. This season of the Lake Effect Podcast is made possible by the Randolph J. and Estelle M. Dorn Foundation.